We're turning back again to the book of the Revelation and to the chapter 5. And our subject this morning is Worthy the Lamb. And while we did read chapter 5, we're going to be looking at some other portions of the book of Revelation as we consider the worthiness of Christ. Before we do that, we're going to seek help from heaven once again. Our gracious and eternal God, we do thank Thee for these lovely songs of praise, giving glory to the Lamb, exalting Christ, acknowledging His reign in heaven. Lord, we thank Thee that He shall reign forevermore. And we thank Thee that the Lord Jesus Christ is King of kings and Lord of lords. Help us now as we meditate upon the Scriptures of truth to turn our eyes upon Christ, open our hearts to receive His word. And we pray that today our souls will derive great benefit from our time spent on the meditation of eternal truth. Write that word upon our hearts and build us up. Make us strong in the Lord and fit to fight the Lord's battles in a day when the enemy seems to have come in like a flood. We ask our God that Thy Spirit will raise up the standard against him. Help us to take our stand for Christ, unashamed of His gospel, seeking the honor of His name. So abide with us now and do us good. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. The last book of the Bible is a glorious revelation of Jesus Christ. One of the most significant ways John reveals Christ is through the many descriptive names or titles that highlight some truth about our Lord's wonderful person or His glorious perfections. The Lord Jesus is described in many ways in this book. He is in chapter 1 and in verse 5. He's called there by two or three titles: the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Also in chapter 1 and verse 8. He is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And in verse 11, he is mentioned as being the first and the last. He is also, in this book of Revelation, called the Word of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And here in chapter 5 and in the verse 5, he is described as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root and offspring of David. Elsewhere, he is called the Bright and Morning Star. All of these marvelous titles bringing to our minds some description of the person and work and titles of our blessed Lord. Now, having gone through some of these, we have to admit that He is all these and much more. But predominantly, in the book of Revelation, Christ is the Lamb. He's the Lamb. We've been singing this morning about the Lamb and exalting Him in our praise from our heart. 28 times, John directs attention to Christ as the Lamb of God in the book of the Revelation. Christ is the object of worship, this Lamb in chapter 5 here. He is the object of worship, both in heaven and on earth. That's why we meet on the Sabbath day, that we might collectively worship the Lord. We worship Him in our homes. We do so around the time when we meet as a family, the family altar. We do so when we read the Scriptures, when we enter the closet and we close the door and we worship the Lamb. I trust we do these things for the honour of His name. He is also the one enthroned in chapter 7. And that chapter highlights the reign of Christ. In chapter 13, He's the controller of the book of life. And in chapter 14, He is the Lord of hosts on Mount Zion. And in chapter 17, the Lamb, when you think about it, comparing the Lamb, and we get a picture of our minds what a Lamb is. And yet in chapter 17, this Lamb is the victor over Antichrist. Antichrist who rules the world. And yet the Lamb is the victor over Antichrist. Praise God, the Lord Jesus shall reign. He has the victory, and ours is the victory in Christ as well. And in chapter 19, the Lamb is the spouse of the glorified bride. What a wonderful scene we have there, and scenes throughout the book. And in chapter 21, the Lamb is the temple and the light of the New Jerusalem. You see, when you begin to think about the Lord Jesus, isn't He all in all? Doesn't He have the preeminence? Isn't He far above all? There's nothing in this world to compare to Him. Thank God we are saved this morning. We're on our way to heaven, and we're going to continue our worship of Him for all of God's eternity. What a theme, what a subject, and what glory there is in worshiping the Lamb. Outside of Revelation, the New Testament refers to Christ with this title only 4 times. Yet 28 times He's given the title in the book of the Revelation. And all through the rest of the New Testament, He's only mentioned by this title 4 times. John exalts the Lamb. And this book exalts the Lamb. Now, as we think of this today, there are 3 focal points we want to consider as we think of the worthiness of the Lamb. First of all, He is the slain Lamb. And then, secondly, He is the sovereign Lamb. And thirdly, He is the splendid Lamb. That's what we want to think about. We cannot think of anything more worthy today than the Son of God, the slain Lamb. In John's vision here in chapter 5 of the heavenly throne, he sees in verse 6 the Lamb that had been slain. The Lamb that had been slain. Now, the tense of the verb is very vivid and suggests two vital truths concerning the sacrifice of Christ. First, it suggests that it is a completed act. Jesus died once for all. Notice it says, the lamb that had been slain, not is being slain, or going to be slain, or will be slain over and over again. But it is the lamb that had been slain. It's a completed act. There is no continuing sacrifice, no continuing of shedding of blood. Christ was offered once and for all, and he satisfied divine justice, and he completed the work that the Father had given him to do. The sacrifice is finished. On the cross, he lifted his voice to a crescendo and he cried, "It is finished." Thank God today, the work of redemption is complete and we have nothing to add to it and we take nothing away from it. The second thing about this sacrifice is this: it has continuing consequences. Although the sacrifice is complete, its effects go on and on. I'm glad of that, because the effects of that sacrifice in the fullness of time saved me and brought me out of darkness into the fullness of his light. The same for you. And thank God the effects of that sacrifice are still going on today. And we're hearing of souls being saved, men and women and children coming to know Christ. The effects of the sacrifice continuing. Oh yes, the work is done. It is complete. But praise God that the power of that sacrifice lives on and on. And souls are still getting right with God. The power and the success of Christ's atonement continue forever, even through eternity. That's how powerful the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross really is. It continues forever and ever. And a survey of this book of Revelation highlights three wonderful truths about Christ's sacrifice. The sacrifice, we say, first of all, was planned. Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Chapter 13 and verse 8 tells us that. This far-reaching statement declares that Christ's sacrifice was neither God's forethought nor afterthought. Just think about that. If it wasn't his forethought or afterthought, thank God we can say it is his eternal thought and unfrustratable thought, because he's the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And every lamb in Old Testament sacrifices was an imperfect copy pointing to the perfect heavenly reality that in the fullness of time would come to deal with sin once and for all. There is an eternal unity, therefore, in God's plan of redemption. Christ is the only way God ever intended to save people from their sins. That was the only way that God ever intended or planned to save the likes of you and me. The sacrifice was planned. It was God's eternal thought from all eternity. Hallelujah. What a Savior. The sacrifice was also efficacious. Not only was it planned, but it was powerful. It was efficacious. The blood of the Lamb is the effective cause of salvation. And heaven is being populated. And heaven will be populated with those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb through the power of the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary. There's no other way. And if we want to get to heaven, we must come by the blood of the cross. There's no other way but this. I shall never get sight of the way of the gates of light if the way of the cross I miss. And here in our service this morning, we urge you, don't miss the way to heaven. Don't ignore it. Don't reject it. But as a guilty sinner acknowledging your need, repent and come to Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. Don't miss the way of the cross. Many despise it. They laugh at it. They treat it as a joke. They even curse the very thought. But today, let us turn our thoughts to God's way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. We preach Christ crucified. There is no other way. The sacrifice was planned. The sacrifice is powerful. It is efficacious. But also, the sacrifice is the theme of praise. The everlasting theme of praise. The throne vision of chapter 5 here in Revelation describes heaven busy. Busy with worship. And that worship includes praise, the angels and the elders, along with all creation, join in choruses of praise to the Lamb for His infinite worth and power and riches and glory and wisdom, particularly because He ransomed His people by His own precious blood. He's worthy of praise. Heaven is going to be a place of praise. The everlasting theme of praise will be there. And it's good for us to join that theme now and to praise Him here and to worship Him and to rejoice in Him, because we're going to join in that theme forever when we get to heaven. One day we will join the heavenly chorus in singing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. And by the way, both these songs are one and the same. And to sing unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins, to Him be the glory forever and ever. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and to sing the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty. Thou art true, and Thy ways are truth, Thou King of saints. That's the theme of their song as they sing the praises of the Lamb. The sacrifice was planned. It was powerful. And it's the theme of praise. Let us enter into the joy and accept accept the benefits day by day of the sacrifice of the slain lamb who died upon the cross for our sins. The slain lamb and his sacrifice. Then we come to the sovereign lamb. The throne vision of chapter 5 describes the slain lamb as having seven horns, verse 6. And throughout Scripture, the horn is a figure of speech designating power. Scripture, and particularly in the Revelation, uses the number 7 to designate totality or completeness. Totality or completeness. And thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ has not only completed the sacrifice and offered himself once and for all, but he is Lord of Lords and he is King of Kings. He is ruler over all, and there is no greater authority than the authority of Christ's kingdom. We may fear the kingdoms of men on earth, and there are wars and rumors of wars, and there's wicked and evil deeds being perpetrated. People's hearts melt for fear because of the times in which we live. One powerful nation rises up against another powerful nation with all their armaments and tanks, and little wonder we quake and we fear. But let me tell you this, there's no greater authority than the authority of Christ's kingdom. And isn't it good to be part of it? Isn't it good to be in that kingdom? Isn't it good to have inherited the kingdom of God through the new birth? Through being born again? We're in the greatest authority that the world has ever seen or will see. Because at the command of our King of Kings, the world will be cast into hell. And those who rejected Christ, the wise and the powerful of this world, will call upon the rocks and the mountains to cover themselves from the presence of the wrath of the Lamb who sits upon the throne. What a powerful authority. What a powerful kingdom. People sometimes consider their future and where they would want to live. And I think there's a program on television which deals with that, whether people want to stay in Britain or go to Australia. And they survey the scene and weigh it up. And far away fields sometimes look greener than the fields at home. They do. And sometimes people, when having weighed up the situation, consider one part of the world better and greater than another. But I tell you, we lift up our eyes to the Lord. We look to his eternal kingdom, to that great authority which cannot be matched by anything on earth. And thank God we can truly say that we're going home. We're going to that place. And thank God there's no match for it. And when we get there, we'll remember it has been said, the half was never told. Oh, the splendor of it all. The greatness of it all. And it's ours because of Christ the Lamb and what he has done for us. and purchased for us and made available to us through his death and sacrifice upon the cross. The slain lamb is the sovereign lamb. He's over all. And as the sovereign lamb, he's the faithful ruler of his people. The faithful ruler of his people. In chapter 7, as John gets his glimpse into heaven, he sees the Lamb again, and he sees them in the midst of the throne, and he sees him leading his people to the fountains of living waters. And who are these people? These are the people who travelled through great tribulation. They travelled through terrible times of suffering and persecution. They travelled through, in this world, awful experiences. And yet, the Lamb never forsook them. He never abandoned them. He's the ruler of his people. We sing in the Psalm 23, he leads us by the pastures green and the still waters. And my friend, no matter how hard the hardships might be, or how difficult the way is, the Lord will never abandon you. He will never forsake you. He will never desert you. And in your darkest moments, in your hardest hour, in your most difficult situation, the Lord is there. He'll see you through. Let's never give up. Maybe we're tempted to do so, but may our faith grow stronger. May we stand more firm, if it's possible, on the Rock of Ages. And trust him with all our heart in the blessed assurance he'll never leave me nor forsake me. Maybe you're passing through some very difficult and trying experience. Nobody knows perhaps anything about it. You shed your tears. You lie awake at night. And you worry beyond compare. Cast your burden upon the Lord. To the one who saw the saints through great persecution and brought them on their safe arrival home to glory. Friend, you who are redeemed by the blood of Christ will never be in hell. You'll never be lost. The devil will never take you down to the flames. Praise God. Jesus could say, all that the Father giveth to me shall come unto me. And him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. And later he could say, none that the Father giveth me shall be lost. Isn't that wonderful? Not my word. Not the word of this church. Not the word of a denomination. But God's word. Believe it. Receive it. Trust it. And let it become the unshakable foundation, regardless of the experience you may be having or will have in the future. The Lamb, the sovereign Lamb, is the ruler, the faithful ruler of his people. He's in charge. He's in charge today. He's in charge of my life. The sovereign Lamb is also the infallible judge of sinners. And this is a very solemn part, friend. The Lamb is as powerful in judgment as he is in salvation. There are few who think about it that way. Few. Revelation chapter 14 reveals Christ to be the object of praise to his people. In verses 1, 2 and 3 of that chapter. But then in verse 10 of that same chapter, he is also the agent of wrath to sinners. The object of praise to his people. Lovely, isn't it? Exhilarating. But at the same time, he's the agent of wrath to sinners. A horrible thought. A dreadful thought. And while you might be rejoicing in the Lord today and giving praise to him as your Savior, others, you have every right to howl in your sin. May you be led to repent of it. Because the same Savior who rejoices the heart of his people is the agent of wrath to you. The Lamb is these things today. Revelation chapter 6, verses 15, 16 and 17 paints the tragic scene of those trying in vain to escape the wrath of the Lamb. And in chapter 21 and verse 27, makes it wonderfully yet terribly clear that the Lamb makes no mistakes in discriminating between the sheep and the goats. Because the Bible tells us he knoweth them that are his. That's a wonderful thought for the sheep, but it's a terrible thought for the goats. On which side are you this morning? Are you amongst the sheep of his pasture, or the goats that are lost? No one will enter heaven whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And to reject the Lamb of Sacrifice, the slain Lamb, is to meet the horned Lamb, the sovereign Lamb of power, who has power to cast into hell. These are the truths of God's Word. We do well to be warned. The sovereign Lamb is not only the faithful ruler of his people and the infallible judge of sinners, he's the conquering king of his enemies. Christ indeed is the mighty conqueror. The mighty conqueror. And although all the forces of the Antichrist and all the hordes of hell and Satan himself conspire and unite against Christ's kingdom, his kingdom is never in jeopardy. It's never in danger. We might think so. We might fear it might be so. But let us take the word of God and be reassured that Christ's kingdom is never in jeopardy, despite the uniting of all the forces of darkness and of hell and of the enemy. Praise God, the victory belongs to him. He's the conquering king over his and our enemies. And I'm glad today to be in his kingdom. To have him as my king, who fights my battles, and who will bring me the victory. Praise God this morning for the slain Lamb, for the conquering Lamb, and Jesus shall reign where'er the sun doth his successive journeys run. Praise God, he'll never fail. Is he your king today? Have you crowned him king of my life? I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Don't forget Gethsemane. Don't forget Calvary. Pray, Lord, lead me to Calvary. And then in closing, our time is gone. Only do we have the slain lamb, the sovereign lamb, but he is the splendid lamb. Oh, the splendor of it all. The closing scenes of the book of Revelation draw attention to the glories of heaven, where all those saved by the blood of Christ will enjoy his presence forever and forever. And the day is coming when all the redeemed will see the Saviour's face, and that above everything else will make heaven such a wonderful place. I have heard people say different things about what they would like to see when they get to heaven, and who they'd like to meet. And they've mentioned loved ones and great names of the past. But I tell you, the sight that will charm us most is to see the Saviour's face, to look in his face, the face of our Redeemer, the slain lamb, the sovereign lamb, the splendid one. Oh, that will repay all the toils of earth. And it will be worth it then. It will be worth it all. Let us keep our eyes upon the Saviour. Let us look forward to that great day when the marriage supper of the Lamb will take place. Let us be glad and rejoice. As chapter 19 of this book, verses 7 and 8 tells us, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. The Lamb, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife, that's the redeemed, you and me, we have made ourselves ready, and to us was granted that we should be arrayed in fine linen, and we should be clean and white, and this fine linen is the righteousness which we wear. It's our clothing. It is the righteousness of Christ, the fine linen of the saints, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus. The day you were saved, you were given that righteousness. Your unrighteousness was taken away. Your filthy rags removed. Like Bartimaeus thrown away his filthy garment. It's gone. It's gone. And he followed Jesus in the way to heaven. And the day you were saved, you, as it were, threw away the filthy garments. It's a deliberate act. Are you prepared to give up all your sin? Leave it behind. Follow Christ. Follow Christ. Thank God for the righteousness of the saints. The righteousness of Christ. That's our clothing today. We're arrayed in that fine linen, and we'll parade it for all eternity, having made ourselves ready in the blood of the Lamb. Oh, what a day it's going to be when we see Christ, the splendid Lamb. We'll look in his face.
will praise Him for all eternity for what He has done for our souls. We're going to close our service